Hello.
What?
I don't know.
I didn't have my button pushed down.
Welcome.
Dang it.
To the Cuba Born News podcast. Oh, my name is Dustin Morbido. Joining me today, looking me directly into my spirit, like boring through my soul, Lorraine Morbido is here.
It's the only way I know how.
Don't I know it? And joining us via the internet. It's just still staring me down. Well, it's falling off of things.
Good job, dummy.
Brian Taylor is here.
That's me.
Our cat's being silly. She's just
I say her. Words.
Great. Glad to hear them.
God damn. I don't
me
even.
Too.
Well, I do. I guess I know where I'm going to begin, but I'm. You know, the world keeps turning, for mostly for worse. Usually I say for
turning,
better. For better
and
or worse.
Everyone but, hates
turning and burning.
More ways than one.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to talk about lots of other stuff that is less terrible, but we might as well lead off with our green vegetables and just...
hey, man, green vegetables are good for you. None of this is good for you.
No, that's true.
Green,
these are like,
vegetables
right,
are much
this
better
is like
than
stalks
this
of broccoli, like, with, like, arsenic. Just, like,
basted
in it. Absolutely. It's like celery that when you eat it, your head explodes. It's just like, oh, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away at the age of 87 or so, I believe.
So sad.
And honestly, I said this when we were on PlayStation, like when we were just fucking around on the internet and like the news broke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Phil told us that Wade told him that.
Yeah.
That one of the saddest parts of the whole thing is that, like, for somebody who contributed so positively to society,
mm-hmm.
like, there's not even a moment to spend in, like, respectful reverence of the things she accomplished in life. It has just been, you know, the Republicans are doing their thing, by which I mean being monstrous opportunists,
mm-hmm.
And kind of, the opposition, the Democratic Party, to some degree, has to try to respond in kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just...
I have felt good about seeing those like candlelight vigils and stuff outside the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, and I don't think any other justice has had that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody else has done the legwork like she has. Like,
right.
She has
Nobody did that for Scalia.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that, and I do think to some degree it shows the stark difference between the state of. Liberals today and the state of conservatives today is that at the end of the day, liberals, you know, you may or may not disagree with their methods, but like with their end goals, I guess, but they want to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they want to change the world in some way, and you know, maybe
it's not amassing
building, not breaking.
Yeah, well, just like standing
pockets.
For anything, like
yeah.
even one issue. And almost completely, with very few exceptions, the state of the Republican Party and conservatism in America today is only destruction and right and consolidation of power for power's sake. Like, they don't even... They've had control of, you know, most of the government for the last 4 years, and they don't even know what to do with it other than destroy or wallow when they can't actively destroy. Like, it's just... It's such a wild state of affairs. Like...
Destroy, wallow, or obstruct.
Yeah, I just don't know.
So the only speeds.
But you know, and on a base level, just like with Colette, stop attacking my foot.
She was coming after me a little bit. She is keyed up right now. Not really sure why.
Just like with Chadwick Boseman or whatever,
sad.
A few weeks ago, you know, our hearts to go out to the people who actually, like, you know, her children and great and grandchildren and whatnot, like her actual family. Who, you know, they lost a poor person who was active in their lives, presumably, and just to everybody else who, you know, looked up to her for all she accomplished, because she was another person where it's like, you know, I couldn't tell you what,
groundbreaking.
Well, yeah, but again, she had, you know, she had goals. She wanted to make life better for people generally, and women particularly. And, you know, what does Brett Kavanaugh want to do with his seat on the court other than have it? Like,
yeah.
He gets to put it on his name tag. Like, he gets to put business cards that say, I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy.
It's just, yeah.
I like beer.
It's right below that.
That's on his desk bag.
Right. It's his little placard that just says
Supreme Court Justice uh-huh. Brett Kavanaugh. I like beer.
/ I'm a big boy.
His little Rolodex right next to it with, you know, Lenny and Squigs and Joey the Fart and all of his other ingenious compatriots. Yeah, I still, I don't know, but that's just unfortunate. Yeah. And, you know,
I turned a very good day into a very bad day for me.
Yeah. It took me a full 24 hours, like, the night of. I think I just took it as, like, oh, it's just another shitty thing, and I didn't really fully comprehend, like, I didn't fully digest it. And then the day after, I was, like, by that evening, I was internally incensed enough that I was, like, because I'm still trying to, thread the needle of how frustrated I am with some of the people closest to us. Like, I couldn't call. Most nights, I'll, call my mom and just kind of check in with her and see how the days are going, and... You know, we haven't had any political conversation in months and months and months, and that's mostly been my choice on my part, because I just don't want to fucking get into it.
Right.
But, like, I was just internally so incensed with, like, just the knowledge that she still supports these fucking people who are doing this shit just on a general level, and I was like, I just can't even talk to you right now. And I guarantee she wouldn't have started shit, because I've talked to her since, and, you know, she hasn't brought anything up, because we came to an understanding a long time ago that if I don't... You know, launch the first barrage. She's not going to give me a hard time about that shit. But it's just so disappointing. I don't know, man. I was
really, really disappointed that night, and that's why I had to kind of turn it off for a while, because I knew where it was going, and I was not going to be surprised. And then the next 24 hours, completely. Just affirmed exactly what I thought was going to happen. I'm like, yeah, that's because this world is filled with monsters.
Yeah, I was...
monsters with no morals.
A slightly brighter note in the midst of that. I was in the middle of a Pit of Heresy run when that news broke. I had just finished the plate room. And... I was going on to the next part, and we hear the exclamation from Wade, and Phil thought, because he had been playing something, like, I think just upstairs or whatever, and Phil heard him, so he's like, oh, something bad happened, and I guess, like, because so we heard, like, from a distance, because Wade didn't actually get on the chat that night, he was just like, oh, we heard all that news, and I just, like, had to stop for a second, and, like, we all just paused, dealt with that, and then I kept going, and I actually did complete it solo on dying while dealing with that, and I then got a drink, and we kept playing Destiny.
I was about to ask, that was the one you were trying to solo, right?
Yes, did I get to the boss on the stream and then die? Is that what happened?
I think so. I remember you at the...
Yeah, right. Yeah. You were like, so that, you were on the cusp of a DPS phase, and
so
you just kind of died.
This one was my only second actual got to the boss, and I beat it.
It's pretty good.
In, like, nice. Four phases.
It's pretty solid.
It was also while, like, mentally numb, so maybe that was part of it. Just fully, like, I should just
mode.
Start, like, this is the perfect time for me to try to do the prophecy dungeon, because something else is going to happen, and I won't be able to process any other emotion than, oh my god, this Echo Kel is killing me, I need to do it, and I can't die.
Yeah.
It's called a coping mechanism.
You went full Avatar.
Basically.
You detached yourself from all worldly desires.
Yep, let it go.
I accessed the cosmic energy.
Opened your seventh chakra or whatever.
Basically. Full on detachment. That was I still can't believe that was Friday. It feels like a week ago almost at this point. Just like everything,
it's
like...
It's like...
I just don't know. I can't believe that was 2 days ago. It feels like it's been so much longer.
I feel the same way, and I thought about, when you said that just now, I thought about, what have I done since then? Painted a room and took down some tape. That's it.
But
that's
also,
not bad, though. Like,
that's a lot
it
of work.
It feels way longer.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've gotten way deeper into some new coding shit, but we'll talk about that in a minute, maybe.
Very good.
So, Lorraine, do you have any other thoughts about either your pit run or the earth?
I mean, I'm glad I did the pit.
Or burning.
That's a constant. I'm even slightly more, so I guess, I don't remember if everyone should have known by now, I've been on fucking furlough or whatever since April or something. Mm-hmm. I believe I'll be starting work again at the end of next week. And maybe this is a good time, because if I can just like get into my just completely null place of I'm completely tuning out the presenter because I've heard the spiel like 30 times today. I'm trying to reacquaint myself with how to do pottery decorating, which I haven't done in like 6 months. Maybe this is the perfect time for me to be able to, like, I won't have my phone on me. I can't hear news. Like, I won't be seeing, I won't be just, oh, let's just look at Twitter because I have nothing else to do right now. Maybe this in the end will
could be positive,
be a good thing in more ways than one, despite how slightly anxious I am about going back into a public-facing job.
I feel the same way about going back to work with like the elections and stuff coming up. I'm like, I'm glad I'm not going to have as much free time.
Yeah, uh-huh. And one of the other positive things I do know is that employee-wise, the shop leans more liberal. Even if I'm the like the youngest person there, so that's at least a comforting fact that I won't be hearing my coworkers spewing rhetoric at me because we're all in the same hyper depressed state, and I know where they stand, which is nice.
I mean,
see one person making a Trump 2020 pot.
They won't do that.
Mm.
That's not traditional.
Here's the other
and
thing.
B,
yeah. Well,
no.
Like,
it's weird that that got broken on its way to the kiln.
You say more liberal, and that might even just be true, but this is the thing that it comes down to for me, because this is the part where it gets personal again, is just, like, we're so far beyond, like, base ideology even at this point. Like, it is so blatantly obvious that...
I say liberal when I mean, like, they actively dislike Trump. I have heard every one of them, they may not like certain of the Democratic candidates, which, again, same... But I know they would not vote for him because they understand that he's a monster.
Right. But I mean, it really is like, there's so much has happened. It is so obvious that this is, regardless of like what your perfect ideal worldview would be about how politics should work or how politicians should conduct themselves. Like, there is just fundamental animosity and disregard for decency.
Oh, yeah.
On display to a level that I've never seen in my lifetime up to this point.
Nope.
Coming from the conservative movement right now.
Mm-hmm. But that's our fault.
And it's just, it is fucking wild. But it should be like, you know, it's like, it should be obvious if you're even just slightly intellectually honest with yourself that, like, what these people are doing is not okay.
Yeah.
And even if you want, you know, lower taxes and less government and whatever in the future. We talked about this before, too. Like, you should want a political organization that can try to accomplish those things without being completely morally reprehensible on top of them.
The problem with the intellectual is the anti-intellectualist movement on the other side.
Yeah, because it's just... And, like, the only answer I can come up with for my family is that, you know... Propaganda is a hell of a drug. Like, if you have taken yourself over the course of your life to a point where you put Fox News on just while you're not doing anything else in particular, if it just is a presence in your home for 6 to 8 hours a day, you know, I guess that shit just works.
Because
that's the part, you know, I love my parents both so very deeply. I like, you know, I like my in-laws. I like Lorraine's parents. A fair amount. Like, I consider myself lucky to have, you know, they're not perfect. Neither are my parents.
I mean,
but
nobody is.
You know, they're above average, I'd say, in terms of, like, on a day-to-day basis, in terms of just trying to be, like, you know, a relatively okay person. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I'm a
caring
relatively okay person.
In your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, and I can't speak as much for this part for them, but for me, I know that, like, you know, that most of the values that I take... that I pride in myself, they helped me curate,
I mean,
like
same.
My own parents.
Yeah.
And if I were actively, personally, right in this moment in my life, being like half as duplicitous as the people in the Republican Party are on a day-to-day basis, like they would not be proud of me.
Yeah.
No.
So it's just like trying to reconcile those things together is just so frustrating and so disappointing.
Yeah.
That's what I have trouble wrapping my mind around is like, you espouse all these things, mm-hmm. and yet you support this thing.
Yeah, like, even in just this one base example of, like, with filling the Supreme Court seat, like, if I had told somebody that, you know, I was going to conduct myself one way, and, you know, said that, all right, these are the rules, this is what I stand mm-hmm. for, this is how I believe that this thing should be done, and then the second it becomes just even, you know, fractionally beneficial for me personally,
you just to break flip the script,
right, I just break my word and say, fuck off, and... I don't give a shit. Like, that would not be... They would not be mm-hmm. happy that I was conducting myself in that manner.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I just...
Good for the goose, not good for the gander.
But,
Stop spinning, Dustin, is what I'm trying to get at. You're spinning your chair.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Just yell at me. I'm sorry. I'm fidgeting.
Yeah.
The more aggravated I get, the more I twitch.
You think?
All right. Yeah, I'll stop spinning my stupid chair.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, do you have any thoughts to add, Lorraine, from your side of things? And then we'll just move on to something less depressing.
I mean, it's basically all the same, and it's almost even weirder, like, coming from my more religious upbringing. Like, I know that certain factions of certain religious establishments aren't, like, the greatest place to go for the creme de la creme of human moral compasses, but seeing, like, trying to reconcile the fact that they view themselves in such a we're following we're following this moral code, and yet all of the, like, just where they view that to be, like, I mean, there's a part of me that has, like, completely detached myself from trying to reason with them, or just, like, it's more for my own, like, sanity, I guess. Like, I could spout facts, or, like, pull up a cork board showing, like, how, like, where these certain, like, macro level decisions have gone, and how it, like, goes against literally everything that they tried to teach me growing up, and it wouldn't mean a thing mm-hmm. because, like, I just, and, like, they're my family is uneducated voters, like, full stop. They don't try to comprehend what the benefit is. They just mostly just listen to one source, decide that that's the thing, and they all just fall in line. Like, they don't really even try to learn about, like even, like, on a more local level, like millages or anything. It's raising our taxes, shoot it down. Like, that's basically their stance, and it's infuriating. And is instead of draining myself both mentally, morally, and just emotionally, like, I have more productive ways of spending my time than beating a dead horse fighting that losing battle. So, like, as, like, I know, like, Dustin, you are just a much more, you have a much more active approach to things like that, where I, like, at least, like,
reading,
no, like, I mean, more like combating, like, butting up against this issue with, sure. like, your parents or whatever. You might not do it, but you feel the pull to do
yeah.
it. Whereas I want to remove myself from that situation as yeah, far as humanly possible, because I don't have right. the energy to yeah, do it.
For better or worse.
Or the will.
I've had pretty good self-control over the past couple months, but for better or worse, I cannot hide my political, like, Goku. Like, I want to go back into the arena, and I know nothing good is going to come of it, but the urge is there, you're right. Yeah, I'm not, so, you know.
Not sure if you're familiar with the band A Perfect Circle.
Yeah,
I was listening to The Doomed and Talk Talk a lot today. Which are both songs off of their album from, I think, 2018.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard that new record, the newer one, but yeah, I knew that they had released an album.
It's a lot about, like, the whole talking about living life like Jesus and the Lord and as a Christian and all that, but really not doing any of it.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
But it's very topical.
I'm sure. let's hope, you know, like I said, if volunteer if you can, donate a little money here or there if you can, and show up. Fucking vote.
We cannot say this enough times. Every podcast we do until goddamn November, we will tell you to vote.
I can't wait till my ballot arrives so the next day I can drop it off in person.
Right.
Because I love the USPS, but I am not risking it.
It's still not a good way. There are, like we've mentioned before, check out your... your county or state's policies are.
Yeah, she's just speaking generally again.
There are non-mailing ways to send an absentee ballot, and you absolutely should do that.
A Dropbox at your polling place. Yeah, or there's ways to do it. Maybe early voting in person. It might be active now where you live.
Some places it is. Just like
secure private courier.
Knowledge. Get knowledge on what you need for your unique situation. However you need to do it. Fucking vote.
Yeah.
Vote. Get the hypno toad out here.
Yeah. She just says vote.
That's right. Yep. And with that, I think we'll leave the depressing portion of the show and move on to, like you said,
fuck, man.
I was still wallowing. Why?
Internalize the wallowing for now. Oh. Bury yourself in whipped cream later and
it's
wallow there.
Internalized. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweetie, yes.
Lorraine, you kind of touched on it. Do you have any other thoughts about going back to work right at this moment? Or, like you can fill us in once you've been at it.
I mean, like, that's coming. I'm going to try to be a little better with this podcast. I posted earlier than I did last time. I was just super lazy.
That's fine.
But...
I just wondered. Like I said, if you don't, that's fine.
I'm interested to see... I'm supposed to be getting some more, e-training. Like, I'm supposed to get a link soon, but they don't work on the weekends, so they didn't send me anything.
Right.
I'm interested to see what that entails. It sounds like, from what I've heard from both my manager, what was in the first email correspondence I got with Talent and Culture, and what else I've heard just from, like, my sister, mom, any, like, other people who are in the shop physically right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've been taking a lot of precautions. I'm very pleased with that. I know that my fellow employees will not be, most of them, there's one in particular I could see being a bit of an ass about it.
Can I interrupt one tiny little observation? No. It's just, Talented Culture is such a perfectly, corporatized, plussed up way to say HR.
Yep, they changed that, and it's, I don't know, it's just, it's always the first thing that comes to mind.
Technical resource.
That's right.
It's true. But I know my fellow employees will be very mass compliant. We will have a lot of cleaning supplies brought every week, which is I was very impressed with because no one has any budget now because the Henry Ford is a nonprofit and they're hemorrhaging essentially. We're hella in the red, and I'm still kind of surprised that I'm going back. I think I was even told my wages are getting unfrozen, essentially, is the fancy term for it, or unsuspended or something like that, which is good because I was on my last 3.5 weeks of unemployment, so goals. I'll have more to talk after Thursday. I think I will attempt to see if I can do the 4 days. That's what I was working before. I'm going to try contacting my manager tomorrow and see if I feel uncomfortable, if there is a way to pull it back a day.
Because
I know they'd really they could really use the 4 just because we're just in a bad spot. Specifically us, more on a micro level, the pottery shop in general is not. We got hit hard from this. We lost a lot of supplies, and with no budget, we have basically,
there's only so much you can claw back.
Yeah, there's only so much we can do to recover from it. And I'd love to be able to try and help pull out of that, especially because, like I said, this might be also slightly more personally beneficial to me. Gets me out of the house at all, which I have not done in these past 6 months.
Yeah, even less so than me, because I've still been making grocery runs.
It's true.
And stuff
it's true.
Like that.
Yeah, I've been very hermitage, which in some ways was nice. I got a lot of personal growth stuff done.
You've been keeping away at art and stuff. I've been really proud of your you know, your diligent art output.
Heck and trying, man. Heck and trying. That's definitely going to take a hit with this, but I won't have like as much free time. But, you know, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tentatively optimistic. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a change of pace. Mm-hmm. This goddamn September.
Yeah. We'll check.
Fucking already.
We'll check back in. Yeah. I do still want to try to do this more frequently than they had been in the past, if we can manage it.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to, like I said, we'll see what happens. Like I told you before, you know, go in with a good attitude and just know that if you really, truly felt unsafe, you know.
Yeah, and I know my coworkers would completely understand. Like, yeah. They might be sad. Like, the shop lead, I think she had found out the day after I had received the first correspondence from my manager. She's like, you're coming back to work next week? She was just excited to see me personally, not the fact that we were getting another person back in the shop. She was like, I missed you so much. And I'm like, oh, thanks. So it'll be nice to see those guys again, because like I've only had really any back and forth with my other the one other coworker of mine who started around the same time I did, just because we're closer in age. There's a big gap, maybe, well, not that big of a gap, John. Like one of the Potter, the youngest Potter, who was the youngest in the shop, is not too much older than me, but after him, it's a pretty big, at least 10 years of a gap. So like, there's a younger side, and then there's the older crew, or the old guard even, who've been there for like almost 20 plus years in some cases. So like, I mean,
lifers.
Basically. But I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, the apprehension and just a general sense of dread that wasn't there as prominently as it was 6 months ago is definitely going to be a change.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to check in with everybody because I know that you're kind of turning a corner. I'm turning a corner a little bit, and
everybody
Brian
check
has
your depression
already
at the door.
Kind of started to turn a corner because you started. Did you? Was last week the first week of your?
Was last week or the week before?
Yeah, it was. Well, my first week was the week before. Last week was my first full week.
Woo! Okay, I knew it was something like that. Yeah, how's that been going? You've been hanging in there, doing okay?
Good.
Baby's first gig in like year plus ish. I honestly can't remember. The time has lost all sense of meaning to me now.
Yeah, if when I was originally talking to them, I was hoping to be off until this week on Wednesday, so that I had like an extra week to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably would have finished up the house by then.
Right, right.
But they came back and they wanted me to start the Wednesday before, so I kind of met them in the middle there and started that Wednesday instead of right away.
Right.
So yeah. If I had gone to this Wednesday, though, that would be 1 year since the last time I was in an office.
Uh-huh.
Because I went on sabbatical last year on, like, September. It was mid-September at the end of the week, like the 16th or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my last paycheck. I remember looking, seeing, because when I did my like unemployment stuff, I had to go through and look at all my pay
stubs. Right, figure all that shit out.
Right.
Like, oh, I guess that's my gap year.
Right.
Yeah, I was.
Never had.
That's not a bad thing, though. Honestly, we've had this conversation with other people too, and I think like that's where I lean. I think at this point, in terms of like, all right, you work to accrue money, and then what you choose to do with that money is up to you.
Right.
You can either invest it in progressively accelerating stuff, like I've got a pretty
capital.
Big house, but what if I had a bigger house? I've got a pretty nice car, but what if I had an even nicer car? Or you can turn that money into time. You can say, all right, instead of the bigger house, what if I had 6 months and just did whatever I want?
And ironically, that's what I got this year.
I'm kind of in the middle there. Like, I want bills that I can pay with a minimum wage job.
Correct.
Just in case, because that means if I really want to, I can probably take a year off or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's honestly kind of like, I didn't like my taking the position, not to necessarily take it off of you and come back to me, but like we weren't in a need for me to start working again. It was just kind of a whim that I even applied, fully thinking that I wasn't going to get this job. And it's just kind of been a little bit of a buffer, because I know like now, like Dustin's been figuring some stuff out. Like, he's been working basically since graduation at his current, I guess, employer.
Sure, something like
you're
that.
You're doing contract work for him now, which comes and goes, and uh-huh. Lord knows they're in not as great spot as they were at the beginning of this year, but nobody is. But because of that, like, we've both been able to grow in more ways. Like, we don't need, like, we don't live lavishly. Like, we get by, and I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need, like... I don't need to accrue wealth or stuff, but I get to spend time, A, doing stuff I like, B, with people that I like, and kind of at my own pace in mm-hmm. either regard, mm-hmm. which is more valuable to me than number on a check that I could be getting or, like, see on a bank statement or, like, be handed randomly.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take like a sharp left back into political territory for a hot second, and then I'm going to kick it back over to Brian because I do want to get some more like specific insight about how things are going. But I will say that that's the thing for me. Like, that's what in my, like, you know, proud little lefty heart is the dream for every working, you know, person in this country is to like, that's the end goal of giving labor power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like, instead of having these isolated examples where, you know, if you do a combination of
A, B,
work
and C,
hard and get lucky, you can create opportunities for yourself on an individual level to say,
mm-hmm.
all right, I don't like this job. I'm quitting this job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking leaving.
Right.
But if we can collectively create a country where the vast majority of people who work for a living have the capacity to do that, like, how many lives would that improve? How much would it improve them by? How much less abuse would you see in the workplace in every form? If mm-hmm. more people could just say, you know, I'm stable enough that I don't need this job. Like, I don't need every penny of this job, 40 plus hours a week, just to barely get by.
Yeah.
It would be a transformatively positive good for
the employees,
this country and every country,
half as much as the customers.
Individual right. power in the hands of regular people is a hell of a thing.
If it wasn't just money speaking, like, if it was literally just, hey, this person is valuable for the things that they can, like, provide to, like, this organization, our team, and to themselves, like, we should reward them. Why is that so hard?
At very minimum, it is much harder to abuse them actively.
That's the bare fucking minimum.
Yeah.
Like, why is it all exploitative?
Not like, you're working overtime without pay, and you know why? Because we know you can't
because
leave.
Fuck you, fuck that's off. Why.
Because your salary.
Yeah. So anyway.
Thanks for bringing it back
I'm
down, Justin. God damn.
But I would play off that and say, I think that's the general overall goal of things like the universal basic income.
Yeah.
I mean, but even I think there are much smaller things you could do than that too. And that like a public option for everybody.
Right.
You know, I know I'm really lucky where, you know, I can get health insurance through Cobra for a reasonable amount of money because mm-hmm. I'm just a single person.
Yeah.
But, and so that in that way, you know, my employer is like, oh, what are you going to do? Make me pay a couple $100 a month for health insurance? I already do that.
Yeah.
Whereas like a whole family, now it's like, okay, if I want to change my job, I'm going to be
paying $1,000, thousands of dollars per month for just health insurance, like not even covering copays and deductibles and shit. Yeah.
Mostly also not covering like dental and
eye.
Like,
you're not wrong.
And I think if that on its own was just not such a big obstacle for people, then you'd have a lot more equity.
Right. Yeah. It's one more puzzle piece in the that it's one less thing that totally chaining you to any specific employment situation.
And it really shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It really fucking shouldn't be.
100%. That's a very good point.
Anyway.
But anyway, back to you specifically.
Good.
How's it been so far?
Pretty good. I it's been pretty relaxing so far. It's as good as I thought working from home would be.
Good.
Nice.
Glad to hear it.
Had some nice calm days of just basically reading code and doing stuff. And
mm-hmm.
got my first task on Friday that I knocked out by the end of the day.
Hell yeah!
I felt pretty good about that.
Nobody swinging by your cubicle saying working hard or hardly working.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have totally found that when when you're working remotely, and I only have really specific examples of coding, but I'm sure there are other examples too of just if you can do other shit remotely and like, you know, your
Turns
field
out,
or whatever.
Weirdly enough, that you kind of can.
If people are if you are presented with clear objectives on a reasonable timetable, there is a zen, like there's just a nice, like there is a calm to it of like, all right, I'm hacking away at this. Maybe I'll take 20 minutes and just get up and walk around a little bit, like watch YouTube for a hot second and then get back into it. And it's fine. And it's totally okay. Right. And like, I'm as productive or more productive than I would be if I were physically changed to a desk, you know, right next to a bunch of fellow employees or whatever, just because I have... But like the peace of mind,
the
of having
the tiniest
that,
bit of autonomy.
Yeah, of having that level of micro freedom. I'm just like, all right, I can spend this next 15 minutes kind of doing whatever I want, and because ultimately I know that I can get this done.
I'm a lot happier knowing that I'm not like sitting in traffic for an hour or more a day.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean that's 5 to 7 hours of my life back every week that I can use for whatever I want.
Yeah, when I had first
cook more.
Yeah, when I had first switched to contract from working full time at Helm or whatever, and that was the first thing for me. I was like, oh my god, this is like 8 hours a week that I spent in my car, right? You know, going there, coming back, and now I just have that time now. That's nuts.
In that way, I think as long as this works out long term. I think this probably could have been a really good change for me, like the way this year has gone, because I think it's made things like remote work, you know, a little more acceptable in some corporate environments.
Yeah.
And I know that long term, as far as I know, I think it's the understanding is that I would be a remote employee, even though I'm not far from where the head office is.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't, it's not like if I, cause I'm contract to hire right now, but if I was brought on, I would still be remote. And I mean, they have other remote employees, like they got one of the devs is out in Oregon.
Oh wow.
Another one's out in like Texas or Arizona or something. So nice. But the tools that we have too, like I was pair programming for like an hour with one of my coworkers on Friday, just getting, you know, the lay of the land, and there was really nothing different. Like if he was next to me or, you know, we were sharing a screen, like we were looking at the same screen, we were talking over a voice call, like there was no difference if he was here next to me physically or not.
That's awesome.
And I think for this kind of work, like there's no reason we can't do this remotely.
Yeah. It really isn't.
And that's we've had this conversation a little too, but I think that if anything sticks positively from this, it'll be more work from home stuff, like more remote employment stuff in general, because it does break both ways. Because, you know, the corporate carrot there is that, you know, it can be cost neutral or cost saving if you can shrink your office space by a significant amount.
Even not like even just like rent, utilities, like super basic things like that cost adds
for
up.
A fact, where I worked before, you know, the small company at one point, we almost doubled in size. So we had we went from having like half a floor to having pretty much a whole floor. And as things kind of ramped down and our group size dwindled, you know, we gave up that because the company just couldn't afford to keep paying thousands of dollars every month for space we're not using. You know, and that's on a more micro level, but all businesses have those costs. Bigger businesses have bigger buildings.
Hopefully that'll be a positive something that comes out of 2020.
Yeah, we'll see. And
I mean, personally, too, like, I talk to my parents about this a lot. Like, for me, every now and then, I often think about things like cars, because it's something in everybody's life that's, like, it's big, it consumes gas, metal, plastic, all this stuff. And, I mean, I know a lot of people that, like, every 2 to 4 years, they get a new car, like... So that I think about that a lot, like, oh my gosh, how many cars are we turning over on a regular basis?
Right.
And but with something like working from home, like right now, I think I've put definitely less than 1,000 miles on my car in the last year that I've been off work, because I've only gone to the store and to the house where I was. I've been, you know,
renovating
things. And that means that my car that I love is probably going to last me a lot longer if mm-hmm. I can keep working from home.
Right.
And I want that. I want to have that car. Until
they find some way to like brick the firmware and then you have to get a new car.
Right. I mean, I've already had it for 5 years and I wouldn't consider trading it for like any other car.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all awesome. That's all an excellent point. But, I'm glad it's worked out so far.
Work from home. Obviously
you're still pretty early in on it, but I'm, mm-hmm. I'm pleased to hear that things have gone good. Well, in the meantime, that's real neat.
Yeah. Almost every company I talked to though, and there was one or two that I made it very clear during the interview. I was like, I want to work remotely. And they were like, just so you know, this position's remote now, but we do want you to come into the office in the future. And I was like, you know, I'm not saying no to this job, but
I'm saying no to this job.
I'm definitely not considering that a plus.
I literally like right after that, I told the woman I was talking to, I was like, okay, just so you know, mm-hmm. like, I would want to be remote at least 4 days a week.
Right.
This place was out in Troy. I'm like, I ain't driving all the way out there. One day. If the pay is good enough, one day I will drive out there.
I will give you one day of my time.
Yes.
And nothing more.
It's not going to be a Friday. It's gonna be like a Monday or a Wednesday. My optimal, like, if I wasn't running a business for myself, like, I don't know, making websites or games or something,
mm-hmm.
like, for me, the optimal thing is, you know, work remotely, like, 95-98% of the time, and, like, if there's a big meeting a couple times a year, okay, I'll go in.
Okay, you got me.
I mean, because I've worked in an environment, you know, an office environment, and sometimes it does help to physically have people in the room.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the time, I went to meetings that could have been emails and other meetings mm-hmm. that could have been phone calls with two people instead of eight people. And I did that for 6 years. And that was enough.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I definitely wouldn't mind like a mix of the two, but like at least some amount of it. Like I agree, I would almost like make it a requirement at this point because I've done all over the place. I was there, you know, full time, 5 days a week, every week. I've worked completely remotely for a significant amount of time, and there was a time in the middle where I was going in between 2 and 3 days a week, and it was a pretty good balance.
Mm-hmm.
To have, you know, just enough FaceTime to, you know, physically see some of the people you're accountable to and, have some transactions that are just easier to do, like speaking physically face-to-face. And then, you know, you go back to your desk and you work on your shit or you go home and log on. And
that's where, like, this particular company happens to be really close. Like, it would be, like, 5 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's literally in the same buildings I used to work at. Mm-hmm. So if you know where that is.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the other tower.
Uh-huh.
And compared to, you know, where I'll be living, that's way closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like I would probably be content even going there, you know, one day a week, you know, like you can have a weekly in-person meeting if you want, you know, that's enough for me. I spent weeks at my last job sitting in a cubicle, not talking to anybody because I'm just working on projects and they're busy working on projects. Like, did I have to be here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could I have been at home with another hour of my life?
Right.
No.
And, you know, on top of that, it's like, well, you know, I don't want to say, but I'll say if I have that hour of my life back and you need somebody to look at this thing for an extra 15, 20, 30 minutes.
Right. And more likely to do
more
it.
More open to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sitting in a t-shirt and shorts.
Right. At the end of the day, I'm slightly more comfortable and I've still netted like time. Like I have come up with more time than I would have otherwise. 100%.
You know, I got my treadmill here. I get to walk while I read. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Crushing my step goals this week.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be crushing my step goals coming back to work. I'll tell you that. I've been slacking hardcore over quarantine. I'm still doing my workouts, but I'm not doing them as hard.
That's okay.
Who do I have to impress?
Yeah, I'll segue, I guess, from that into, like, a little bit of what I've been up to for the last, like, couple days. Like, from the middle of this week, I think. But yeah, I've been in a scattershot manner, just as if I saw something that looked interesting. I've applied to, like, 2 or 3 different jobs over the last couple months, and so far, none of them have panned out.
Don't tell!
Huh?
They might find out. I'm kidding.
But I think I'll still, like, I'll just kind of keep looking for stuff, and if something looks interesting, I'll put my hat in the ring and see what happens. But, and then try out. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, that is one thing. After having been off for like a year, and I took about, well, I'd say 4 to 6 months, mostly just kind of relaxing, and then, you know, being sick for a while didn't help. But getting back into just like learning on my own and, you know, doing some other stuff like that, and getting back into the swing of doing stuff with new technology instead of what I was doing, I definitely see more value than I used to, because like I'm in terms of like that continued learning. Like at my last job, I was going through so many things every day that, you know, I had never done on, you know, on my own, because it's a professional environment. You just come across more problems that you're constantly learning. So it's like, I learned a whole lot of shit today. Like, do I want to go home and learn more stuff? I'm learning every day. But then, like, you know, the last year or so I was there, it was just like a lot of the same crap over and over again, you know. And so I kind of let that lapse a bit, and that's why I got back into it. And the more I've been back into it, and like when I got back to job searching and stuff, you know, that's one of the things I learned is probably a really good thing to just keep doing, is, you know, even if I'm happy, you know, every 6 months do something, you know, look for new jobs, see what's out there. Because even if I don't want to leave, I'll have a better idea of where I might be able to go if something happens.
Make some kind of like baseline for a plan or whatever.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for being challenged in a positive way too. Because like you said, just generally getting up to speed on something you're not super familiar with is, I think, like a relatively positive way of being challenged. And then once you do, like once you've been in a position for a while, and you kind of know the ropes of the day-to-day stuff of what you're usually accountable for, then you're more likely to get challenged in the, you know, the much more tedious, much more irritating, like, oh, you made a commitment on what timeline for this thing? Like, that's not a an engaging challenge, that's an irritating challenge. Or like, oh, you got this requirement from who? like what moron did you say that we could do this, like, in this manner for?
My go-to was always, who estimated this?
Yeah, something like that.
Who mists?
So, yeah.
Okay, right. Let him do it.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, in the spirit of just, like, changing things up and getting your feet wet in some new shit, I decided to finally start messing with the Destiny API a little bit, and I'm, like, slowly but surely bringing a phone app together for...
there you go.
Like Destiny item manipulation reasons. And I'll tell you this, I made a lot of progress in the last 2 days. Like, I've got like a fully connected to most of the endpoints that I was interested in, and was able to like fully pull on like pull on and unpack a bunch of their database data and stuff. I've learned a lot more about how their data is stored on the back end, which is kind of neat, because like pretty much all the like item metadata, at least for the API that they supply to externally to average shows like me, like it's all just bundled in like a SQLite file that you just, you know, you see if it's fresh, and then you download it and unpack it on your own time and then query all that shit locally.
Okay.
As opposed to like putting in a call every time you want to know what the name of this gun is or whatever.
Well, yeah.
But
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was like
getting slammed.
Right, 100%. I was like, yeah, that tracks. Like, would you really want this to be like 100 different requests when you can turn it into like, you know, one every day or two or whatever?
Here's your key. If you request this more than 4 times, we're killing you.
Right.
No more access for 24 hours.
Stop.
But yeah, I've gotten a lot of that stuff working. So now I'm just barely starting on like the front end, like user interface stuff, which I had dabbled in. I'm using Xamarin or whatever on
okay.
C Sharp. I've dabbled in it before, but never gotten quite as deep as I have right now. But I will say that the first like 36 hours or so was a frustrating nightmare of getting like getting all of the things to work together, like downloading the Android SDK and making sure
that
it worked.
That's what he was doing while we were streaming
yes,
on Thursday.
And like getting the phone emulator to spin up properly in a manner that it would like, you know, accept the apps as I was trying to debug them or whatever. Like it got to the point where I just threw my hands up and said, fuck this. And I downloaded a whole new install of Visual Studio and put in everything fresh. And then it worked fine. But like... trying to like add the additional libraries and shit I needed to my original install and like get all that stuff up in like a piecemeal way, it just like, I don't know, it just wouldn't fucking work at all. So
computer's
sometimes,
dumb,
sometimes
Dustin.
You have to wipe away the transmutation circle and redraw a fresher, more simple one. Yeah, to get
that
all
is where I was
together.
with my site months ago. It's like I really wanted to redo it using new stuff, but it's that starting over, like getting things going from the ground up again, it feels like it takes so long without giving anything back.
Yeah,
for
right.
like
it's,
a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh,
it's
no,
like
I got this base.
Right. It's like, I know what I want to do, and right now the thing standing between me and what I want to do is a bunch of tedious busy work.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, now I'm kind of in the swing of things where it's rolling and, you know, fingers crossed it'll stay that way, but yeah, it's fun. It is nice to like have a fresh thing to fiddle with. And I told Lorraine this too, to just like, from a coding perspective, it is so refreshing to just every once in a while, just pick up a new thing, like a totally chased, like fresh code base, that isn't bogged down with like hundreds of hours of bullshit contributed by you or God knows who else. And, it's very cleansing in that way.
I like it, and I don't only because I know when I have that fresh canvas, I've got to get all that crap working.
Sure.
At least when somebody gives me a pile of garbage, I'm like, well, at least it works, right?
Right. Allegedly. Yeah? Like, as far as we know, it works.
I mean, that's...
I just got to make this new part work, right? Uh-huh. Okay.
That's the same thing with me and, like, any fresh canvas, or the difference between writing something completely new or editing, like... Sometimes one is so much better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you hate them both.
But yeah, and I stumbled across some other things that I told Lorraine also were very valuable. I don't remember the URL right now, but there was a website that I found that was like transformative in terms of some of the stuff that was more tedious for me. I was like, all right, so you're telling me that if I take this JSON string and plug it to this website, you're going to give me the C# code that corresponds to that data? This is amazing. Thank you, internet. Thank you, people, for making things that are good.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
I'll find it and link it to you. But yeah, it was like the first time where I had to set up like my own like stack of objects to like consume and take in the data from these API requests the way that I wanted to. It took me like 2 hours. And then the next time I had to do it, it took me 10 seconds. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do one get and get that JSON string. And then I'm going to put it into this place. And it creates
it
all the classes
like,
and shit that I need to consume it. And it was amazing. I was like, oh, it's so good.
Is it like a REST API or was it a SOAP?
No, it's a REST API.
Okay, uh-huh. Those aren't bad. I like those better than the old SOAP ones.
Well, it just really depends on how complicated. Like, 'cause like I'm a little shocked by how much, at least for my purposes, like how much extraneous information they are sending you with some of these requests.
Oh, yeah.
Like from the Destiny side of things, they're like, all right, I just want to know like the stats of this single gun or whatever, and like some of the volume of information you get with like a single request for some of that stuff is really wild. Like it's a lot of data, but
meta and otherwise.
But yeah, that's been it's been fun. Like I've enjoyed that, and at least I told Lorraine, like, if nothing else, as like sort of like pitter patter around, just like looking for something else to do on a paid, more permanent basis. I'm planning to at least, while I fuck with this, have something else to show for just like, all right, I've built websites, and like I can show one or two examples of that to people. If I build this app, I can show somebody that I built an app, and I just have it on my phone right here, or, you know, point them to
Surprise.
The app store or whatever where they can go download it. And you know.
Want to see if I can build a half-decent looking thing? Here, just go here.
Right, yeah, this is it. I made this. Do you have any questions? It's right
all
there.
On my own.
Yeah. So yeah,
let me log in for you.
Right, if nothing else, I'll have that to show for it.
Wahoo.
Which should be fun. But yeah.
Where I was with that too.
But yeah, that's been fun for the last couple days. So I'm going to keep trucking on long on that in little fits and starts. But
Well, and I don't know about where you're at either, but like where I was at, all the stuff that I worked on generally required like logins and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't really be comfortable being like, oh yeah, like here's this website I used to work on. You know, I built this little part of it. Like,
sure.
That's just something that if I own the company, I wouldn't really want people to do that.
Right.
And I don't comprehend it.
Helm has been so much more of a mixed bag because some, like, it is all over the place where some of it was totally, like, B2B internal where, like,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't even mm-hmm. show somebody that stuff if I wanted to reasonably from, like, a legal perspective, probably. But a lot of it is also, like a lot of it is a combination of both. Like, a lot of those auto company websites were great examples of, like, right. basically, like, if you logged in as an account that had, like, certain dealer permissions or whatever, you would just get a totally different suite of items that you could purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also, still just go to, I assume it's still, like, you can go to ChryslerCollection.com, and I can go there right now on a web browser, and I'll just be like, hey, do you want to order a t-shirt that says Dodge on it?
Always.
I'm like, yeah, I worked on that website.
Sign me up.
So anybody can look at stuff like that. And then, yeah, some of the more specific shit, like there was a bunch of reporting stuff that I did that never even saw the light of day from, like, them trying to sell it to people because those were some of the stupid projects that I spent, like, 90 hours on and then they got canceled because everyone's an idiot.
That's how you really feel.
But, yeah, there's a handful of public-facing things there. And then there's always, like, you know, there's our website for Cubicorn, which isn't super impressive, but it's more than nothing.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, the app's going to be the same way. Like, I don't think it is going to, like, transform the landscape of phone development or, you know, even
shock the, you know, world Destiny 2 interfaces core.
But it'll be something to have to say, hey, here's a thing that I've done.
Yeah, and if you're applying too, it's like, hey, I know you're looking for like a mid-level Xamarin person, but I've done a Xamarin
right exactly
thing.
Like I've got this thing is completed and shipped and you can go download it right now. And that's the other thing I do want to like, I've kind of been really invested in this just because, like I said, it's gotten me going a little bit just because it's a nice, clean start.
It's also something you're excited about. Like, that having an interest in what you're doing changes the calculus on that drastically. Mm-hmm.
But I also want to get, since Down the Drain is the one we worked on most recently, I want to get Down the Drain shipped as soon as we can manage it for the same reason. Just be like, all right, I'm also theoretically interested in Unity development. Like, I'd totally do that on a for-pay basis if I could find that work.
Mm-hmm.
But the easiest way to get that is to show something somebody something you've actually done. So
that is one thing I really want to break back into, because I've had a very simple game idea for a couple of years now that I keep mulling in my head. And I think once I'm finished the move and all that, I want to dive back into Unity and see if I can at least flesh it out and get like a couple levels or something like that, just to play around with it again, and I don't know, maybe get something out on an app store. It'd be nice.
I mean, it's the same as like amassing any kind of portfolio, or like the same weight as like a headshot, depending on your inventory, like your industry. Uh-huh. Like having something to show that represents some amount of skill or like experience is invaluable for whatever field you're in.
So yeah, I'm like tentatively, like I said, just kind of excited. Like Lion said, it was something that's got me out of a rut a little bit, which is nice.
Rut busting.
It's just nice to be doing something a little different and having something to be interested in and kind of dip back into. Especially now that I've gotten over, like I said, all the most annoying hurdles of just like, it just won't work for reasons that have nothing to do with the code I'm writing. Like, I feel like almost all of that is behind me for the moment.
Allegedly.
I'm sure it'll be all back again in spades when I do actually try to compile for iOS at some point, but for now I'm just going to live with the Android version because it's much easier to spin up on a dime and test.
I'm totally with you. I mean, like, paychecks are nice, but I've been more happy and excited about just getting some problems, like external projects to work on, and it seems like a pretty half-decent team of people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very personality-wise, skill-wise.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Even better.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
You love to see it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, I was going to, like, was thinking about dabbling into, like, a handful of other things, but like, depending on how you guys are feeling, I would either just call it right here or give, like, the slightest drive-by on, like, new console information, and then...
Okay.
Brian, how you doing this evening? Like, how are you... Do you have, like, 20 or 30 more minutes to spare, perhaps?
2.5 hours.
All right. In that case, we'll do...
I don't know if we can squeeze it in. It doesn't fit.
We'll do that. We'll talk about new video game stuff a tiny bit and then call it a show.
But, bang, bang.
How many episodes of Avatar do you want me to watch tonight?
All of them.
That's the real question.
Are you still watching Airbender?
Yeah, I'm on season 3.
Nice.
Okay. Right on.
I think I'm like 6 episodes in.
Okay. So you're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm hoping there's still like at least like 30 episodes, but
I don't think there's that.
I think there's a few less than long that. Seasons. I think it's 20 something. But, yeah. Still though, great show.
Oh, yeah, I'm in total liking because there's a 4th season.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
Well, there's 4 seasons of Korra. There are there are 3 seasons of Airbender.
Oh, there's only 3.
Yeah.
Oh dang! Now I'm bummed.
What was it done?
I'm bummed that I'm not bummed. I thought there were 4 seasons.
It ends so well, though. Like, it's such a tight show. Like,
I'm just confused. Like, why would they go with 3 books when there's 4 nations?
Because he already knows Air.
There was a...
Okay, yeah.
So this is another thing I had read, and I don't know when in the creative process this took place, but apparently there was... At some point, there was a plan to do 4 total seasons, and then I guess one of the reasons they didn't do it is because they greenlit that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, I had heard parts.
And the guys who worked on the animated series, like, to some extent, advised on that project. They were like, all right, well, you're going to spend some of your effort
and
doing
there
this
is, like,
instead of making another season of the show.
There is, like, a post-series comic that goes along with Last Airbender, for sure. I know there's some... I think there might be some Korra, too, but... There is a comic Probably. That takes place after the show, from what I am aware. I have not read it, but I know it exists. Seen parts of it.
Oh, man. Now I thought I had so much more to go still.
Nope.
I feel like I'm going to be abandoned soon.
It'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I think you'll be glad when you watch it just like, to see how tightly, like Lorraine said, how tightly it comes together.
It's so good.
It's certainly better than like if it had been, you know, another season that had managed to spin its wheels a bunch.
Well, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is I love knowing, like, okay, I'm gonna watch this thing, and it's, you know, 4 seasons, and it doesn't kill it, like beat itself to death, and all this stuff. But then at the same time, like, when I find out that there's not more of it, I'm kind of. Kind of bummed, but this was just like pulling the rug. It's like, oh, I thought I had 4, now I have 3. Oh, gutted.
All right, I'm gonna take another left turn. We're gonna forget. I'm just gonna say for right now,
prices are out, dates are out.
Executive's decision, yeah. Like, if it did $500-$400 for the PlayStation of your choice, if you want one, go get one. Except you can't because they fucked up the pre-orders.
Yep. The bots bought them.
But whatever. Those are just products on a shelf, man.
Who cares? Yeah, pre-orders already happened.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, that's the, so this is the one thing we'll mention, and then we'll move
the
back on to. But yeah, they like they announced the prices and stuff, and they were like, pre-orders will be like they said pre-orders will be well telegraphed. We'll let you know when the shit's gonna go live, and then it was like in the middle of the night. The day of when they announced the prices, they just went up on every retailer without being prompted, and then they were gone in like 10 minutes.
The pre-orders went up to retailers?
Yeah, so if you wanted one from, and I guess they claimed that like they might get handfuls back, like there might be batches that come out over time that like, oh, keep an eye on Best Buy and maybe they'll get, you know, a few hundred more and you can buy them or whatever. But yeah, Best Buy, Walmart, GameStop, everywhere you can think of that sells video games. Their initial allocation of consoles is spoken for PlayStations.
I am really confused because I thought when I read the thing, it was like, look, like the pre-orders are going to be coming from us. And I signed up for a thing where I gave it my ID.
Right.
Like my name. And they were like, "What, you know, when the pre-orders happen, we'll send you an email if you get selected." And like, I'm not saying I deserve to be selected, but I was under the impression that they weren't even going to do pre-sales at retailers. They were just going to do it
Sony Direct. Yeah, I guess that was just in addition to like traditional avenues to pre-order it. But and like you said, I signed up for the same thing, so I'm assuming that all that means is that we both lost the lottery.
Pay any attention after that? Because I was like, well, they're going to email me if I get it. So
right.
If I would have known that, I might have at least tried to keep an eye on.
Yeah, but were you up at like 2 in the morning when they went live and got eaten up by the bots?
What day was it?
Whatever that press conference happened.
Yeah, it was the evening of the 16th, maybe?
I have no idea anymore. Remember,
but I might have been.
But were you refreshed?
Yeah, I would. The thing. I also was awake, but like since they said they'd announced it, I didn't give it much thought. And then, mindlessly clicking around other links, like an hour after all that shit happened, I was just like, "Oh, they're just gone. Great, awesome."
I had a feeling something like that would happen,
I
mean,
it's 2020.
At the same time,
it's you can't have nice things.
What you didn't know is there was only 2020 pre-orders.
I knew it. Right. Oh, damn it.
That's why they're all gone.
But yeah, to like summarize thoughts on that, like they showed a bunch of games off and that little thing, like a lot of that stuff looked fine, but nothing looked super enticing to me. But moreover, like going back to the business, like just the capital B business of selling video game consoles. I think those prices are pretty solid, and I think we can still be thankful that the degree to which we have competition in the video game space, like,
is still there.
It's there enough that they are still putting pressure on each other from a total dollar amount, like selling a thing in a store, which is good.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that the competition was even more diverse, but, you know, I'll take what I can get. And, like, the fact that they are bothering to compete at least a little is worth something, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then the other part... go ahead.
I want a PS5. I'll probably get one shortly after it comes out, whenever they're available again.
Right.
But, like, I don't necessarily need one. The biggest reason I would want one is simply because, I think I mentioned, I've still got a launch edition PS4 that's been doing all my...
wheezing its way to death.
Yeah.
And my controller, like, literally...
They're terrible.
Both of the sticks on my controller, you can see, like, the plastic under the rubber.
Yeah,
ours don't even get that worn down because they all just break.
You're right. Yeah, because I've swapped them out as they've become unresponsive. But yeah, I have a pile of 4 DualShock 4s that just like they have
don't
joysticks
work.
That range from working slightly poorly to working very poorly.
Some of them have been bought within the past like 2 or 3 years.
Good, but I don't know.
We've been fighting this for the past like almost basically all of quarantine. It's been an uphill struggle.
I don't have the PS Pro, so I don't have like the 4K.
Yeah, and right, yeah, I never upgraded to the Pro version of either of the other consoles. We bought that one,
but I have 4K TV that's been in my living room for the last 8 months, waiting to be used because I thought I was going to install it in January, and I was wrong.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. Because then, if we weren't in a pandemic situation, I probably would have done like what I've done in the past. Like I would have just gotten up at 3 a.m. or whatever and like started staking out the Best Buy lines. I don't think I'm going to do that in a universe where coronavirus exists.
Yeah.
Like it's just not quite worth it to me to like stand out with a bunch of other disgusting nerds like in a public space for a considerably long time to buy products.
I don't think I'm ever going to do that again. In general.
That's the thing. I like the thrill of the hunt.
Yeah,
like,
I'm 9/20/2020 right now. Sorry, I looked at my computer and I saw all 9s and 20s.
Nice.
It is 9/20/2020.
That's pretty good.
On 9/20/2020.
Right. Everything stars have aligned.
Wow.
Yeah, I kind of like the thrill of a hunt of the hunt still. If it weren't for if my personal safety weren't at risk, I would totally be out there in the trenches most likely, but yeah, I don't see myself doing that shit.
That's how you get the trench foot, Dustin.
Like after having worked for so long like in an office and stuff now too. I don't know. It's just like I know that when I'm working full time, I only have X amount of hours for things like video games and stuff. And it's like, okay, what? I'm gonna go stand in a line so I can get this thing so that I can have it like maybe 2 days or a week before maybe I could have gotten it some other more convenient way.
Yes.
So I could have like plugged it in, set it up, maybe turned it on, and and played a game for an hour before I had to go back to doing something for work.
Sure. Because here's how it used to be for me, and I don't actually know how this is going to change, like, internally, like, in a world theoretically where, like, the coronavirus might be past us at some point. But I used to kind of live for shit like that, where, like most of the time, you know, in a 7-day cycle, my world is not going to be changed very much. Like, my routine is going to be pretty static, like, on any given 7-day snapshot of my life, you know, in adulthood, where we have responsibilities like a regular-ass job or whatever.
Ew.
There's only so much differentiation you can introduce in your life over a certain period of time. So I used to, like, relish the times where my personal world was a little weird. Like, just the act of, like, of doing something stupid like that. Like, all right, I'm just going to go, like, red-eye it, and before the sun is up, I'm going to go look to buy a weird product. Like to undertaking that tiny little adventure was a thing that was like, oh, this is different than, like, what I usually do on a Friday morning or whatever. Like, like I used to find fun in that intrinsically. But, like, since the coronavirus has done that, like, in a super damaging way to everyone in the world, like, I guess my feelings on that kind of shit are a little different now. So I don't know where I'll be on the other side of this thing.
Woo.
But, yeah, I used to... Back. To, like, one of the last times I did it, and it was for the midnight release of the Burning Crusade expansion for World of Warcraft. I already had the pre-order, but they only had so many in stock, so it was like, get in line, and until we run out of copies, you know, it goes to whoever's in line with pre-order tickets.
Right.
And I got mine that night. Nice. I got home, I installed it, I updated it. I could not log in because the servers were bogged down for like an hour and a half. I finally got on and played from like 3 to 4 a.m. and then I had to go to bed and get up for school in the morning. And I'm like, I did all that to get to play it for like an hour, and like the next night I was able to play it for like 6 hours. Did it really matter? No.
I think the last time...
time and get a cold, yes. I don't have time for that as an adult.
Uh-huh.
Because we did that for the Switch. That was the last thing, I think, that we've done.
Yeah,
in that
right.
Regard.
We went out to a Best Buy in the middle of the fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Lined up. And it was fun. Yeah.
It was cold. It was March.
I'm just... It's like Black Friday stuff. Like,
I've never liked Black Friday. I don't...
I used to like it. When it was less trampoly.
Right.
It used to be kind of fun. It's become less fun over time.
The last time I went, I was like, I'm going for something that they're going to have like 150 of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect it to like run out. Like, I'm just going to drive over to the Target an hour after it opens,
right?
Walk in, get my thing, walk out. It was great.
Yeah, and again, that was like, when I used to enjoy that shit more, it was mostly for the spectacle. Like, 9 times out of 10, there was no particular product that I was ever interested in buying on Black Friday, but it like... It was fun to be a part of the energy and to people watch to some extent, but then, like, the more it slipped into Bloodsport territory, the less enjoyable that became, to the point where it was just like, all right, well, now this is just like when people started opening up on Thanksgiving at night or whatever, when they really, like, started pushing the boundaries of, like, how...
Friday.
Right, how much they were going to abuse employees and consumers alike.
That's one of the reasons I won't even go. Like, if I hear of a place opening on Thanksgiving, that's it for me.
Yeah.
I'm not, I will try to find it from somebody else because I don't want to support you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Even like midnight Thanksgiving or whatever, was even kind of pushing it for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's technically Friday, but just go with your families.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. No.
I guess it still remains to be seen, but I sure
Nana
hope...
don't pay the bills.
I sure hope that people don't go in hard with, like, physical Black Friday shit
I'm
this
really
year.
Scared.
I can tell you where I won't be.
Right, exactly. Like, nowhere near where commerce happens, that's for fucking sure.
No thanks. Far, far
away. There's some kind of alternate universe I get thrown into where all of a sudden I'm working retail.
Right.
I'm here on Black Friday.
Yeah, and again, that's the kind of shit where, like, you know, in a fairer, more just world where people are more stable and less beholden to their employers, like, in an ideal world, retail employees, like, a significant portion of them could just say, like, look, we're not going to fucking do this. We're not going to let you put our lives at risk to this degree for this stupid bullshit when we're talking about a pandemic or whatever.
But people can't.
But right, if, like, for the moment, like, people who are already in those jobs and who just aren't in a financial position to get a new one or shift careers or whatever, or they just have to grin and bear it and, you know, be more at risk than people who are not currently working in retail, and that just sucks. Anyway, I'm going to back out of that to, like, my last thoughts on, I guess, the console stuff specifically are that,
You're just taking us through, like, the emotional ringer, man.
It's all connected, that's right. I know, but still. It's the circle of life
and
capitalism.
I hate it.
The circle of 2020, that's why it's got two circles.
But I do feel like the rollouts of each of the consoles kind of show, like, they show the level of organization that I feel like Sony and Microsoft are in these days, where... And we'll see if this bears out, like, 6 to 12 months from now, if, like, if it looks this way after they've released, in the same way that it has looked leading up to it. But, like, it looks from the outside of both of them that, like, Microsoft has come in extremely calculated and crossed all their T's and dotted all their I's, and, like, they've got this shit figured out. Because their pre-order plan is they're going to go live in 2 days. Like, they're going to go, and they announced this a week or so ago, their pre-orders are going to go live on September 22nd at exactly, I think it's, like, 8 a.m. Pacific or something like that, but there's an actual time, and, like, that's, like, they have come up with a plan and announced it to people and are executing on it, and it feels like they've done that with, like, every step of their, like, of rolling out their thing, like they had a presentation earlier than Sony where they got into more of the weeds about what it physically did before Sony did. Like, I feel like they've just been one step ahead on them in organization and communication, and Sony this time has just felt like they're a little more directionless and a little more, like, just kind of, like, coming out firing, for a better, like,
I'm okay with that.
And, you know, and yeah, it might ultimately be fine. I'm sure the physical box or whatever will be extremely capable, and, you know, the games will look awesome and be fun to play and whatever, but,
I mean, for me, it just came down to, like, the exclusives and stuff. I mean, I can play the Sony exclusives I want on my PS5, and I can play the ones from Microsoft on my computer.
Yeah.
That's...
Right.
That's really it for me. Like, I really love what I'm seeing from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I just don't... Like, with my personal setup, I'm happier and better off going the PC route.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
And like I said... They're still going to get my money for
it.
Right,
but that's the thing where I think, like it is almost like... It's almost a little unsettling how well I think they've thought some of that shit through, because that's part of their plan. Like, Microsoft's ultimate plan is, like, if they win the console war, we still win.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is, like, fucking ingenious from a pure business perspective, but is potentially, like, it theoretically threatens the delicate balance that I talked about earlier of competition, where, like, if they just start to eclipse Sony... Like, if they take such a large stake in video games as a whole, where they start to eclipse... Steam a little bit in the PC space and Sony a little bit, but just by the definition of, well, if people play their games on the PC or on our console, then we still win relative to, like, if more people just play Sony's games on their console.
Right.
Like, in an ideal space for games, there would be a close to equilibrium every generation, just so they really have to, you know, put the gloves on and fucking get in the ring and fight each other hard. So if that balance gets shaken up to a significant degree for an extended period of time, you know, it's not going to help consumers or game makers necessarily in any way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am both extremely impressed by and, like, tentatively a little intimidated by, how calculated Microsoft seems to have been this time around and, like, planning their, like, space in the video game vending business 5 to 10 years from now, it looks like.
Man, we killed Sega.
Right.
We'll do it again.
But yeah, we'll see. Like, it really just depends, like, because I do, like you said, I think Sony is right. I think they'll have no problem riding high on, like, a solid lineup of exclusive games and just, like, goodwill from the PS4 for the next, like, year. Like, I don't think it'll be even an issue for the next 12 months. But then after that, who knows? Like, if Microsoft has shown... If they continue to show the same level of savvy in terms of just, like, making deals and getting new exclusives and shit... that, like, they've shown leading up to this launch in terms of just being really well organized, then, like, I could totally see, like, 2 or 3 years from now where they just straight up have a better lineup of games just because they put in the work and Sony was a little less capable of doing it for whatever reason this time around.
They're also just, like, buying up everybody.
Well, yeah, they made a bunch of aggressive acquisitions, like, because they needed, like, in the past generation, they didn't have many, like, nearly as many exclusive studios as Sony did, so they absolutely needed to make a play to, like, create more games that were only going to be on their platform. But they did it.
I see this kind of as, like, the culmination, they're slowly moving towards each other in, you know, consoles and computers, like, Microsoft's is the closest I've seen to, like, this console is pretty darn close to a Windows computer. And I think, you know, a company like Sony, like, right now it's more separate, but I've read in the past, like, their architecture and stuff like that has kind of moved in that direction with, you know, the back end is, you know, more Linux-y than it used to be and things like that.
Right.
And they need that to get certain functionality and, you know, things. But I think eventually what they may get to and what they will be are just convenient things for people to buy, you know, but essentially they're just a PC under the covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have
to
see.
And, you know, if I can play my Sony games on a badass Windows PC that I built,
right,
I'll still buy their games.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you making money on the games or the consoles?
Right, exactly. So yeah,
but I think they serve a good benchmarking, you know, purpose. Like, hey, you know, this is what we want you to target so that lots and lots of people can play them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'll also see a lot more of, like, okay, well, this generation, like, we've got our, like, PlayStation, and then we got our PlayStation Plus. And then we got our PlayStation Plus Plus.
Right.
You know,
God,
two,
not the
3 years
PlayStation
later.
Plus Plus.
Yeah.
Help.
Like, now the games we're making, like, they only work on PlayStation Plus and Plus Plus. You know, they just slowly, generation by generation, like, okay, every 3 or 4 years.
I mean, they've already started,
like, you know,
making the
upgrading
hack
your
stops.
Phone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, they've already started, like, they're dipping a toe in that device pool or whatever.
Yeah. And then the thing.
Nintendo's got the Switch Pro or Plus or whatever.
No,
I haven't looked it up yet. They're talking about
right,
one, though.
Yeah. Sure. It's presumed that the next thing that they do hardware-wise will be something like that. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, we'll really see, man. It's going to be wild in the next couple years. Because, like I said, I still think that the Game Pass service is Microsoft's, like, crown jewel of, like... Like, if they have their way, I think that they will want the majority of video games to be consumed in the next decade in that manner, and like a Netflix style, like, you're gonna have us on your credit card for the rest of your fucking life, and in exchange for that, you get to play new video games as they come out, but not own any of them. And I think it's super savvy. Like, I think from a business perspective, it's like totally the right thing to do. For the medium of games, I'm a little less sure on that. Which I've talked about before for lots of reasons. For, like, it's good that when people own the stuff that they own, like, there's that level of it. I think for as shaky as the economy is for creating games, I think it'll only get worse if if that becomes the, like, standard for how video games are distributed. And like I said, it in the current state of things, I think it really threatens to theoretically unbalance the console fight, because Microsoft has this whole fully fleshed out service that is all-encompassing and at a relatively reasonable price, and Sony just doesn't have an answer to that shit right now. Because you can buy that subscription right now for, you know, the $15 a month or whatever, and you get all those games you can download and play on PC, all those games you can download and play on any Xbox you own, and you can play them all remotely from
computer.
Their cloud service on, like, your Android device or whatever. So it's like... It's more robust and functional than Stadia, and it includes all the other shit from regular video games, and the price is more reasonable. So it's it's
scary.
It's really something.
We'll see how it plays out. It'll be
but yeah, I am, you know, trepidatious but excited to see what happens with video games going forward. But
I'm with you.
Yeah, new stuff is good. I still. For as scary as change can be, the answer is not to not change, because if you don't change, you die. But yeah, like, I'm with you. I would love to have a PlayStation 5 this year, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I'm gonna, like...
Right.
When I am given the ability to purchase one easily, I will do so.
It's like I was telling my brother the other day, I've been playing a lot of these, like, isometric RPGs, like the Baldur's Gate style games, and I'm still playing this Pathfinder game. I'm gonna play again for a while after I get off this chat with you guys. And I like two of the other games that I was looking for. It was the Divinity games. They went on sale, and I snatched them up like immediately. So I got those waiting in the wings, and I still have like Hitman and a couple other games I got a couple weeks or months ago. It's like, I have more than enough stuff to keep me busy until next year.
Wahoo.
Yeah, that's right.
If I don't get a PS5, I'll
right, exactly. Yeah. You'll be just fine. And that's what I said to Wade. I was like, a very similar thing of like, well, you know, that Demon's Souls remake looks kind of neat, but like, I still have Sekiro that I like, you know, I put like 10 hours into that game and I really enjoyed them. So if I like really want more of a Souls-like thing, I can play more of that.
That or like, any of the Dark Souls or...
Yeah, they have that other, like, you know, that Miles Bloodborne. Morales Spider-Man game looks neat, but I have the other Spider-Man game that I never played at all yet. Like, you know, I'm assuming they're very similar. So it's a lot of stuff like that where, yeah, there really is no killer app.
The Final Fantasy is interesting to me.
That has no date, though.
But right, so... that game will become about 6 years from now, probably.
It looks nice.
Someday that game will be released.
Who can say? It's Final Fantasy 15 versus.
And I still haven't played The Last of Us 2 came out, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I haven't
played that.
If you want to play it and don't feel like shelling out however much it's going for these days, I can airdrop you my copy. Like, I can just go leave it on your doorstep or whatever.
I will probably buy it just because I loved the first game. And I think I'll like this one, despite it got weird criticism, and I was like, I'm not even going to look into all that.
You should.
I'm pretty sure I'll like the game.
If you're spoiler averse, you should not listen to the podcast we recorded about it, and then listen to it once you've actually played it.
Yeah.
But if you want, like, if you want to know what I think about it, we recorded a whole like hour long conversation on it. Attack on the Last of My
Patience, I believe, is what it was.
But I came down on. I think that game is like really good and fucking intensely flawed. So
I mean, the really good's the part that matters.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth playing.
It's
especially
another
if you,
The Last of Us.
If you liked the mechanically how The Last of Us worked, it's a lot like that.
Fine.
But just like 10% better.
I mean, if the mechanics were the same and the story was just continued, I'd be perfectly happy.
Yeah, the mechanics are very similar, and the story is like, sometimes it's good,
continued.
And sometimes it's less good. Like, it's more
it's the
of
same characters.
It's more of a mess than it is. Like, it's just, there's a lot going on.
The story
I would suggest playing it. Like, I think it's good enough to justify, like, if you're even a little interested in it, I would totally give it a shot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like a, like, I thought The Last of Us 1 was, like, really, really good. Like, I think like everything about that game was pretty solid, and this one is, like, way more of a mixed bag for me. But it's still good.
I mean, I've been living in a depressive virus world, so I haven't needed The Last of Us. But when things finally get better, I'll probably be ready.
Sure.
See you in 30 years. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, yeah, you know, we'll still have video games, at least for now.
Will we?
Until we don't.
Will we?
For the moment, we have video games, and that's pretty good.
Destiny's still here for now, in the longest season of forever.
Yeah, I think that's as good a place as any to call
it. You're like, we're not going to talk about consoles, and then we're going to talk I know you have a lot of feelings.
The podcast is like my life. It's a jumble of, like, I just have to chase whichever car like drive swerves in front of me. Right, I'm a freshly unleashed dog. It's just...
good that way.
What, sometime in the future we'll talk about cartoons and anime and stuff again, because I have thoughts.
There's the future.
What's the future?
Well, I have to say,
maybe Lorraine, there's the future.
Yeah.
I'll put this thought out to you, and then we'll end the show.
Great.
You'll have to let me know if you think Jay and Percy would want to get on here with us on the internet and talk about, like, maybe just talk about, like, Hunter x Hunter for
they definitely
one or more times. Because, like, I have thoughts about that show. And I just want to know where they're at.
I do want to preface a little bit. So on Netflix right now, they have the first four seasons, which is like 75 episodes, which is like half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say Hunter Hunter?
Yes.
I watched all of it.
So, well, no, so did I.
Okay.
But they don't have...
And I've watched, you know, three seasons or whatever.
Yeah.
40, 50-something episodes.
But they don't have the dub on there. And I did, while you were doing the dishes, so I did like a half hour of research trying to see where the dub lived. I'll finish
it under the sub if we have to.
So the only place...
Crunchyroll has it, don't they?
They have the sub, though. Dustin has been exclusively watching the dub because he's a monster and he hates himself. It's bad.
Yeah, I watched most of it on the sub.
I watched the entirety subbed, but have been watching it dubbed with him because that's how he chose to consume it.
I think I saw one or two dub episodes on Adult Swim or something, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and I found out that the whole thing was on Crunchyroll. I was like, yeah, I'll watch it. It was one of my walking shows.
But I, like, the last Blu-ray set or whatever came out earlier this year. Nowhere has season 5, 6, or 7 outside of these Blu-rays dubbed. And
we'll figure
there's
out.
Like an idea that maybe next March it'll come to Netflix. Season 5 only. Okay. Not 6 or 7. Just 5. So I, I was telling, ironically, Jay and Percy, because I was explaining this plight to them. I was going to see if I can convince you to watch it subbed. Just
cause, I mean, I'll finish it subbed if it's the easiest course of action. Probably. That's fine.
It's the most legal one, from what I can say. And I also don't want to buy anime Blu-rays right now.
Well, and honestly, like I said, I don't...
Kind of ever, but...
I'm ready to finish watching it, like, to finish consuming it, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know,
I like
man.
It.
I think it's just, like, it's got heart. Like, there's something that's real endearing about it. But at the same time, it seems like such a fucking mess.
Well, no, so part of it, I believe, from what I understand, Togashi, I think is his name.
I never remember the dude's name. Yu Hakusho.
Yeah,
he, like, he is like working like very slowly at finishing the series because it's not done yet. Like, the manga is still ongoing, and he releases a few chapters every so often because he's in, like, he does not, like, he does it all himself. He will not, like, pass the work along to other people. He does most of the brunt work, and he's working through a lot of like physical injuries, like related to art.
Yoshihiro Togashi.
Yeah,
you are correct.
He was maimed by Hunter Hunter.
Well, no, it's more just like overworking himself. Like,
right, he's just like Sakurai and all those dudes where they just work themselves to death.
Well,
unfortunately,
no, so he's pulled back so much that it comes in such slow fits and starts that I think that's why some of it feels a little more like that. I don't even want to know what that original anime looked like because it was in a much rougher, like there was a like mid-90s, mid-late 90s version of this anime because this series has been going on for so long.
Sure. And honestly, I could believe that, which is like, that's one more meditation on labor, I guess.
Yeah.
That's like way dark. We're like, because I kind of adore Yu Yu Hakusho. Like, I just keep, the more I think about it, like, it's a, you know, it's a silly little shonen series, but like, I really like it.
That's fine. All.
It's well put together.
I think
it's really well made, and
it
doesn't overstay its welcome.
It doesn't beat itself to
right,
death.
Yeah. It's not 3,000 episodes long. But I think it's also way more focused than, like, any, like, I think almost every 10 episode, like, collection from, like, Yu Hakusho, the anime at least, because I guess these are all adaptations at the end of the day, like, is more narratively focused and makes more sense than like any 15 or 20 episodes of Hunter x Hunter at any given point so far. but if the only reason that happened was like in the early 90s he was working himself to death and now he's not,
probably,
then like there's some darkness there that like that's a lot to unpack.
That is why I like knowing, like, going in like, oh, this thing is written and it's done and it's like three seasons or four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna expect it to be good.
Yeah.
And it probably will be.
But
and I'll want more, but I'm okay.
Yeah, I'll say we'll table that conversation for now. We'll come back to it. But I will finish the sub if it comes to that. And then, yeah, you'll have to reach out to those guys and let me know, because I would, it'd be nice to touch base with them since we're not gonna see them physically in the same, like,
yeah,
Yomicon context, which is really unfortunate. But, you know, that's 2020. 2020 sucks shit, so...
chimera ants.
I know.
That's what Lorraine keeps saying. She's like, that's the arc.
Although, to be fair, though, because, like, part of the reason they were excited about us watching the dub is because they wanted to see how that arc is, like, acted out.
Oh, that arc
because
specifically?
Because acting in that arc is very good.
Okay.
Like, the performances, specifically of Killua and Gon, are very good. And those voice actresses, the original ones, are, like, super into it. And they're great. Brian, were you going to say something?
I don't want to drag it out long or anything. I just want to say, like, there were definitely times in the show where I was like, where is this going and why is it taking so long? But then by the end, I was dying. Like, okay, I'm okay with this. And the Chimera Ant arc did that to me a little bit. There was, like, I felt like there was, like, a third of it.
It's a slow start.
It is.
Because, like, I've said this before, like, I almost wanted to stop watching the show based on the Greed Island arc. And the slow start to the Chimera Ant arc was not helping me at that point in time. But I got put, like, Jay and Percy were like, no, like, you should watch, like, finish this. I'm like, okay. And I did. And I'm glad I did because it goes some places, Dustin. That whole arc is basically its own show. Like,
okay. It is.
It really is.
And for me, that's, like, because I was watching it while I was walking. I was watching, like, four to five episodes a day just walking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, this is like, you know, days after I watch Greed Island, I'm into this. And it's like, for a couple of days, I'm just like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
Do something. Mm-hmm. Come on.
God, does it do stuff? Boy, howdy.
But yeah, it's good by the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I said, at this point, I am committed to finishing it because I do like I said, I'm vibing with it enough that like I'm in that anime mode where it's just like, you know, these characters are pleasant enough.
Yeah.
I kind of like hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Even if I think like narratively, like the way that a lot of the stuff comes together is like very, it's like middling to poor, depending on like which 10 episode or like section or whatever you ask me about.
Hunter exam isn't great.
I'll stick it out and see the rest
though,
of it. But here's like,
the
all right, here's a preview of someday when we record a Hunter Hunter podcast, and Brian will have you on if you'd like to be or not. but yeah, we should definitely get Jane Percy on.
Yeah,
because I'm going to consider them our subject matter experts. But Hunter Hunter to me, and I'll elaborate this on this someday when we get around to doing it. But so far, I haven't watched like, I don't know, a third of it.
We have literally just finished the spider arc. Like, we are on the end of season three. Like, we are on the doorstep of Greed Island, which I'm loathing.
Hunter Hunter to me feels like like the anime version of a Hideo Kojima video game, where like Hideo Kojima is a man who has wanted to make movies, but he doesn't have the skill set to make movies, but he does have the skill set to make video games. So instead, he makes video games. And Hunter Hunter to me kind of feels like, this is a man who has the skills to make manga and ultimately anime, but he really wants to make video games. But he can't make video games because he doesn't have the skill set to make video games. So instead, he's going to make this anime instead and channel all of his like deepest desires for, you know, silly challenges and mini games and like elaborate class systems with like way more nuts and bolts information than you would ever need to tell a story. But if you were making a video game, like with spreadsheets and shit, you know, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Like, those are my thoughts on Hunter Hunter right now.
So you're saying you're a specialist, Dustin.
I don't even know how many animes I've watched that are literally, like, this is a video game. And sometimes they're not even, you know, coy about it.
Right.
It is a video game.
But yeah, we'll leave that conversation there for the moment, and we'll pick it up at some point. But Lorraine, thank you for hanging out with
me
and talking about everything.
I'm hanging out with you all the time. Yeah, it's just goddamn buckshot over here.
Brian, thank you for joining
us.
Every
time you say scattershot, I think of Yu Yu Hakusho.
There you go.
I've been multiple times today.
Good. I appreciate that. I'm glad.
I need more Botan in my life, just straight
bring
up.
It around.
I'm definitely gonna like either.
She's a goddamn delight.
Either
I
when we
her.
Finish Hunter Hunter or like while we're going through it, I'm gonna rewatch Yu Hakusho again, if nothing else. We can watch it together, or I'll just do it on my own time. But yeah.
You don't have to be beholden to me, but I would watch Yu Yu Hakusho with you.
Sure.
Love that show.
But yeah, thank you again, Brian, for hanging out and talking stuff. It's always nice to check in. Well, like I said, I'm glad that everybody's like, you know, the world still sucks pretty hard, but we're all doing one little thing or another that's going positively for right now, so that's good.
Wahoo!
Like, that makes me happy.
Yeehaw.
Cooking a lot.
Yeah, cool. Hell yeah. I gotta make a cake.
Pretty damn good
maybe
at it.
Tomorrow, definitely right. Tuesday, because it's my dad's birthday, and I need to make him a cake. Aww. So yeah, I'll be doing that in the not too distant future.
Come celebrate my half birthday with me. Never.
Be good.
Oh yeah.
Don't celebrate with me.
Thank you again, Lorraine.
Leave me alone.
Thank you, Brian. We'll talk with both of you and God knows who else in the not too distant future.
That's
so.
A lie. I never speak.
For now, we will call it a night. We'll see you later, Internet. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.